Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Gaining Perspective with Andrea Ruckelman here on the Life Coach Radio Network of Blog Talk Radio. Hi, I'm Andrea Ruckelman, your host, and today's episode is Don't Talk at Them, Talk with Them, Building a Stronger, Mutually Respectful Relationship Between Parents and Their Children. Today I'm really excited because I have the honor of having a guest of someone that I have admired for quite some time. Her name is CJ Johns, and she's the owner of Future Potential Coaching. Welcome to the show, CJ.
Thank you, Andrea. It's great to be here.
I'm really looking forward to this show with you. And to give everybody an idea of who CJ is, she works with parents who often believe that they must be the authoritative figure, in which in theory that is correct, but there are ways to incorporate other thoughts and actions into that mix and still maintain that mutual respect. She helps parents who are trying to develop a good, productive relationship with their children by supporting them through the roadblocks of parenting and guiding them, the parents, to achieve lifelong bonding relationships with their children. So today is a very unique and different introspect into gaining perspective because I think this has really hit something that many people really are involved with. So when I think about it, you know, with this topic, sometimes it's difficult to be that authority figure and maintain the right amount of friendship with your children, but also be seen as the one who does get it with your kids and knows how to guide them through difficult situations. You know, it's even more difficult when you're a parent that's maybe recently divorced, trying to maintain some normalcy in your children's life. If you're a widowed parent trying to be both the mother and father in a situation, there are so many different areas in a child's life that they go through different phases. And as a parent, you have a little bit of a responsibility to help guide them, be there for them, and help understand what they're going through. Before we get into our conversation, I will just warn our listeners, as usual, I have a severe lightning and thunderstorm coming through here. So if you hear me disappear, CJ is going to be willing and able and keep on talking to you. And what I mean by that is I'd like to invite anyone who is listening today to give us a call at 646-716-9397 to talk to either CJ or myself and ask us some questions, share a story or an example of what's going on in your life with your children, and see if there are ways that you can gain a new perspective on what you're doing. If you also don't want to feel like calling in, you could always reach us in our chat room, but please note that you need to be a registered member of Blog Talk Radio in order to join us in the chat room. So enough of me talking about everything here today. Let's kick it off. And CJ, let's start with this question because I always see relationships primarily change when kids become teenagers. And what do you see as the most challenging to parents of teenagers?
Well, what I have seen with parenting teenagers is a major breakdown in communication. And what I mean by that is the parent is trying to talk at their teenager and not talk with them. Really, as a parent, you need to come from a place of curiosity without being pushy. And you can start as simply by saying, you know, when they walk in the door from school, how was your day? And you know, 9 times out of 10, your child's reaction is going to be good. Well, to build on that that conversation, well, what was good about it? And then it starts to develop into a conversation. This reminds me, several years ago, I implemented this with my two teenagers, and it has become a way of life for us. I don't even ask the questions anymore. They walk in the door and they just unleash everything that happened throughout the day, what was good about it, what was not so good about it, and then we just go from there so that that open line of communication between the parent and the teenager is going to be key. And just to come from, like I said, a place of curiosity.
Wow. I mean, it's really interesting how you say that and how you've built that relationship where you don't even have to ask the questions anymore. You know, for parents that feel that they always have to ask what's going on and really, you know, dig down into what their teen is doing, they feel like they have to be on top of it because there's so much going on in this world with kids and teenagers and access to social media and things we're unprepared for. What do you see is a way that parents could take certain steps to change from that 21 question behavior with their kids to be more of the conversation where the kids want to be open with that communication?
Well, I think I believe in my own household with my teenagers, being able to talk with my children and let them know that no matter what is going on, whether it's school-related, friend-related, boyfriend-related, anything like that, that they can come talk to me. And I have always had those lines of communication open with my children that they can always come to me and talk to me as a friend, but that I always wear my mom hat. And the biggest aspect of that is they are very open and honest with me that if they have as long as they come and talk to me first, any consequences, will not be as dramatic as if I find out the results, from someone else. So really instilling that in my children early on has been a huge advantage with parenting my two teenagers, and it has really opened up the floodgate of communication and their willingness to come and tell me and talk to me about, personal things that they would typically go to their girlfriends for, anything like that.
And I think that that is very admirable in the aspect of how, the kids tend to feel that the parents are just trying to be nosy or, the kid thinks that they know everything and they try to hide information from their parents. And so in those situations, when sometimes parents feel defeated, what types of things have you discussed with the defeated parent that just keeps saying, I don't know what to do anymore. I feel like I've lost control of my kid and disciplining doesn't even work anymore.
The biggest thing, specifically, I'm going to gear toward the discipline aspect because I've had experience with a nephew of mine. I am a full, firm believer in punishment needs to fit the crime. Obviously, in some aspects, that doesn't work due to whatever the factor was. But to have that relationship with your child and know what their likes and dislikes are, what makes them tick, whether it's, the computer and getting on Facebook, their cell phone, their Xbox, their car. I do have one child that drives, so I know at this point, what makes each one of my girls tick to know, okay, if I ever felt defeated or feel like there's, no matter what punishment I give, it just doesn't sink in that, that was wrong or whatever. I know what makes my girls tick to know, okay, this is going to hit home. If I take X away, that's going to really make them think. And that's a huge, huge piece when it comes to parenting, specifically teenagers, but even, the younger children as well, is understanding what your child at that particular moment in time cannot live without. Once you understand that aspect, because it's ever going to change as they grow older, then you can really have that open line of communication and know, okay, if this happens, this is the consequence. And it will make the child think, is it worth it? And if it's not, then you need to take a step back and reevaluate the situation and see what else is available for a consequence at that particular time.
You know, I think that's great because so many times have I heard the story of parents that talk about other parents and their parenting skills and, you know, in the way that they punish them, and they say, the most common thing is, yeah, so what that they take away their Xbox? They still have an iPad, an iPhone, or any kind of phone, what it is. They're still communicating with the world and really being able to do it. And then I hear those who often talk about, I take away their phone because and their any type of communication they have with the outside world, including Facebook. So now they're not able to see what's going on, and they get that left out feeling. So in essence, when you tell them to sit and think about what it is that they did to deserve the punishment that removes this, when you are doing that follow-up with them, you know, it's one thing to do a punishment, but what do you do when it's over? You know, the punishment's now done. What is the conversation parents should really start focusing on with their children when it comes to what they did, how they thought about their actions and the effects of their actions, and build something now, make it stronger, not focus on what's wrong, but how we can make it right?
Yeah, the big thing with follow-up after a punishment is to be able to sit down with your child, and when you're about to give them back what, you know, if you've taken a device away or taken something away from them, when you're about ready to sit down and give it back to them because the punishment's over, you know, starting off a simple conversation by, okay, this is, you know, your punishment of, you know, no Xbox for a week is over. But before I give this control back to you to be able to play, what have you learned from not having this? Or what have you learned from this situation? And putting it back on the child to, you know, really understand for yourself as a parent to know, okay, did this punishment work? Because whatever the child is going to say is going to give you those clues and those little golden nuggets as to, okay, is this a punishment that's going to work again, or did this not work at all? And then you can, you know, be able to step back and reanalyze, okay, this really worked, and move on from there. Or, well, this one didn't work as well as I thought it would, so I need to figure something else out. So putting it back on the child to give you some feedback as to, you know, how it was without, you know, going outside to play with friends or not being able to talk on the phone or whatever it is, they'll, by asking the question, will give you those pieces as to, will this work again? Was this a one-time thing or whatever, you know, whatever it happens to be? You'll get those nuggets by asking some simple, you know, some simple questions.
You know, and that, the questions is, that leads me to something that I think is important as part of a discussion. As we've been talking about a punishment and as it relates to communication and putting it back on the child and to see if this is a punishment that has worked. The goal is to never have to worry about punishing someone again for the same option, you know, not to stop the behavior. But what do you think is more effective? Do you think that the punishment and taking something away or the follow-up open communication discussion?
What was the first part of your question, Andrea?
Ooh, my lights are flickering. Be prepared for me to disappear. What part, as we talk about punishment and follow-up conversation, how would you weight the effectiveness of the punishment versus the follow-up discussion as it relates to building a stronger relationship? Because, you know, kids are so angry when they get something taken away because they sometimes feel entitled to it. So when they get it back, you know, sometimes they're like, finally, and they're not most respectful, or it's a, I won't do it again. But do you think that it's the punishment, is the stronger punishment works better, or the stronger conversation where it's an open discussion works better as part of communication and stopping bad behavior and opening communication lines?
I personally, myself, in what I have done with my girls, that open communication is really huge. There have been a couple times that I have punished my children, you know, whether it be they can't play with a certain friend in the neighborhood or, you know, they can't have friends over for a period of time, whatever it was. But with both of my girls, they have had one punishment each that really made them think that, okay, this is a behavior I can't do anymore. It's never going to happen again, and I have really never had to come across it again. The biggest aspect of getting to that point was developing that relationship with both of my girls to allow them that ability to know who they are and what their strengths and abilities are and kind of become their own person a little bit and take responsibility for who they are and what they do, to the point that, you know, not that they're going to punish themselves by any means, but to the point that, okay, if I go to mom now and tell her this, this will happen. If I wait, this will happen. And they're able to make that decision that it's better to come forward and have that conversation versus mom finding out from, you know, XYZ. So it's, to me, I think communication is better and more effective, but sometimes it takes that first punishment to really have it hit home. But you got to have the groundwork laid first with that communication piece and being curious and, you know, not getting any resistance from your children.
You said something earlier that I think is a very key point. When you said that you allow them to know who they are and what they do and building them up, how often do you see when you talk to parents when they are dealing with different situations with their children, they focus more on what they don't do right versus the things that are great to help them learn who they are? And how can they change that?
Well, there's, you know, when it comes to understanding your child, us as parents, we have this bigger picture as to what we feel we want our children to be. But there's also another aspect of it, which is what does the child want to be? And then it's a matter of kind of meeting in the middle and understanding where the child's coming from, where the parent's coming from, and kind of understanding, you know, in that that holistic view of, okay, this is what it is. You know, at feeding your children facts as to certain aspects, depending on what the situation is. You know, one example is my oldest daughter wanted to be a specific career person when she grew up. And that's not what I saw her to be. So we kind of talked about it a little bit. Well, what is it that you want, you know, what is it about this career that, you know, you are thinking about and why? And I explained my side and, you know, we kind of talked about it. This was probably over several months. We kind of talked about it. And one day she just came up to me and said, "Mom, I've changed my mind." I said, "You changed your mind?" She says, "Yep." And I said, okay, and she is going down a different career path. But it was her decision, and because she made it, she owned it. I didn't influence her. I gave her facts of, you know, whatever the situation was, She had her preconceived notions as to what her first career choice was. And then she thought about it and really looked into, you know, the aptitude test they give you in high school and what things she would be good at. And it really made her think and do the research on her own so she can make up her own decision. And therefore, now she owns that decision and she takes pride in it.
You know, how often do you see when children do that and a parent will step in and say, well, I don't think that that's the right thing for you to do? And in the defense of the parent, you know, they think that they know what's in the best interest of their child. And I always laugh when I go back to the days of when I wanted to go to a certain college and my parents were fearful that it was going to be too much, and they kept saying, I don't think you should do it, you're going to fail out, and stuff like that. And it's kind of funny because they were the most supportive parents I could have, and in the end, I got to go to the school of my choice and graduated in 4 years. But it was in the aspect of sometimes in that relationship, you see the kid trying to prove the parent wrong or the parent trying to show the kid, see, I know best. And it's that conflict there that I see is often most challenging because parents sometimes are afraid to let go for their children to develop that. And you've done such an amazing job with your kids and the way that you've worked with them, the way that they come forward and talk to you about everything, and you give them that opportunity. What do you see as great steps, great thoughts, a tool that parents could use before they react to the kid and tell them, I don't think you should do that, that they could start instilling in their lives to work on allowing the child to identify, and even they could, whether it's when they're a toddler, younger than 10, a teenager, or when they get older, that they have to start making those types of decisions and let it see how it progresses for the kid. So what do you see as tips that parents could implement to allow some of that to go?
First of all, you know, back to one of the very first questions you asked, be curious. Know what your child is into, what their likes are, what their dislikes are. The hardest part of being a parent is learning to step back and allow your children to make mistakes because you don't want to see them fail. You don't want to see them get hurt or anything like that. And that is the hardest part of being a parent is seeing your child fall. And that's something as a parent you don't ever want to see. But sometimes it's necessary to allow them to open their eyes and realize that, you know, real life is out there and it's going to happen whether you protect your child in a bubble at home and do everything for them versus allowing them to grow as a person, understand, okay, if I do A, B will happen. If I do this, then I can achieve this. Reinforcement of different thoughts and actions are really big in parenting, especially teenagers. Knowing that if you consistently tell your child you can achieve anything you dream, and there are many different ways you can say that to your child, eventually that repetition and that consistency of how you portray that to your child will sink in, because we all know our children are sponges and they absorb everything around them in some fashion. If you do positive reinforcement to certain extents, I think there is a limit on positive reinforcement to, you know, like for grades and things like that, unless you can come up with a way to do that in a healthy manner. I used to pay both of my girls, you know, $10 or $15 for every A on their report card when they were younger. It got to a point where they expected it. They walked in with their report card and had their hand turned out, and I'm like, okay, that's not going to work anymore. You know, mm-hmm. I want them to really absorb the material, obviously, and not just achieve that A because they know they're going to get money in the end. So really just kind of knowing your child and allowing them to become themselves is really big when it comes to allowing your child to become that adult that you see in them without putting your views into their life.
I like it. You know, the one thing is, and I'm going to challenge you a little bit here because I'm going to act like the parent that's out there listening saying, yeah, easier said than done, TJ. Take a walk in my shoes. You know, I'm a single parent. I have a father. The father of my child lives several states away. I'm working my job most of the time. And, you know, I have to rely on my kid to be able to have some responsibilities. And when things go wrong, I don't have the time to sit down and make it all sound nice and pretty. I just have to get things done and raise this kid the best way I can and to try and figure out, you know, is this punishment going to work and what have they learned from it? It's not that easy to build that kind of relationship when it's just me by myself. You know, how do you help someone that feels completely defeated and a victim of circumstance in their relationship with their children turn it around?
Well, you know, I think what I would do right off the bat is challenge that single parent back. You know, why? You know, what is it about the situation that you feel you don't have the time? What is it about being a single parent you feel, you know, why is it that you feel you don't have the time to follow up? You know, when it comes to our children, whether we're, you know, a two-parent household, a single parent, a divorced household, whatever, when it comes to the children, children are number one. You know, with your where your priorities are, family, at least, you know, for myself, and I would imagine for anyone, any parent out there with children, family is pretty high on the priority list. And if I was a single parent, what I would do is kind of step back a little bit and figure out, okay, we're not talking about giving my child 3 hours to talk to, you know, to have that conversation. It could be a quick 5-minute conversation. Everybody has 5 minutes to spare, whether it's at the dinner table, at the breakfast table, in the car on the way to school or a sporting event. Find the times when you can just quickly ask a couple questions, and you will be amazed at the response you're going to get. It's not going to happen overnight, especially if this is all a new process for you. It's going to take a little time. My process developed over a period of months with my kids. Now, when they walk in the door and they say, guess what happened today in psychology or chemistry or whatever it is, it's because for several months, that was the first question I asked when they walked in the door. So that repetition and that consistency of asking that daily, and it only took me 3 seconds to ask the question, it got to the point where, you know, in the beginning, the answer was, oh, it was good. Well, what was so good about it? Well, this happened, and I had a really good lunch and whatever. Oh, okay. And then you're going to develop more and more time to the point where you're not going to have to make the time on the way to the sporting event or at the dinner table. It's just going to freely come to you. You could be in the middle of sitting down paying bills, and your child's going to come up to you and talk to you about something. So it's going to happen in the least way that you expect it to happen. But as long as you're consistent and repetitious with wanting to know, and like I said before, be curious without being pushy, there are many ways to be a part of your child's life and not feel like you're being overbearing and always there. I'm sure many, many schools out there have an internet-based attendance and grade system. When my school, where my kids go, first started theirs, I could see if they made it to class, if they were tardy, what they got on the science test they had that day. And that sparks up conversation, too. And you know what's going on, and you can see different things that are going on in the school just by going to the school's website. So that's a way that you can be a part of your child's life without your child feeling like you're always there or you're embarrassing them or whatever. You can know what's going on, and then that develops more conversation to have with your child.
I think that's great. I love how you say be curious without being pushy. Don't become that meddlesome parent where you hear, oh, Dad, come on, you know, that kind of thing that you often hear when kids are younger or they just leave me alone. I just want to remind our listeners that if they have any questions or thoughts or want to challenge anything that CJ's saying or anything that we have going on this conversation, please call us in at 646-716-9397. Again, you could also follow us on Twitter at Coach Host Radio with the hashtag Gaining Perspective, and we'll share what some of your thoughts are out there with what's going on in our conversation today. I also want to share with the audience some of the upcoming episodes on Life Coach Radio Network, starting with tomorrow, September 13th. At noon, Get Lucky with a 30-something Coach. Now, it's not what you think it is, since tomorrow is a Friday the 13th. Carrie Spaulding, the 30-something Coach, will explore what it means to be lucky and how the way we look at luck can actually impact how lucky we are. I'd like to be very lucky with winning the lottery, so I think maybe I'll tune into that. What do you say, CJ? Want to buy some Powerball tickets?
Absolutely.
On Monday, September 16th at 9 p.m. Eastern, is Frank Talk with David Frank Gomes. He's going to explore the art and science of a meaningful life. And on Tuesday, September 17th at 8 p.m. is Danielle Mercurio of New City U Coaching, and she's going to talk about from feeling like you're missing out to feeling fabulous. And by the way, just so you know, the next episode of Gaining Perspective will air on September 26th. So I just want to let our listeners know that. Again, if you want to call in, the number is 646-716-9397. And the skies around my house are lightening up, and the lightning and thunder is no longer scaring me anymore as we go on with this conversation. You know, one of the things that we really focused a lot of the first half of this episode on, CJ, is we talked about the parent and the child as if it's, you know, the conversation between you and the child in that relationship. I kind of want to switch gears just a little bit. And when there are children, kids, teenagers, whatever age they are, that feel the parents favor one over the other, and there's this competition between the two, and how do parents prevent their children from the favoritism effect?
Well, being that I am a mother of two teenage girls, I have experienced this to a certain extent, and all I did to kind of let go of that limiting belief that I favored one child over the other was just to really reinforce that each kid is unique in their own way, that each child has their own needs, and whether that be a child who is in band versus a child who's in choir. You know, I go to all of the band events. I go to all the choir events. If I can't make it for, say, parent-teacher conferences, if one child has it on a certain day and the next day the other child does, if I can only go to one, I don't go to either. I have really worked hard the last several years to live by how I explained that I don't favor one child over another. And it has worked out very, very well, to the point where that's not even a conversation anymore or a thought. It's really, again, just reinforcing that each kid is different, have different needs, different whatever, and that in their own, each child is your favorite in their own way. That goes a long way with nipping the favoritism talk in the bud, really. So, and really, if what your child, another thing is if your child is saying, well, you do this for her, but not for me, and kind of stepping back a little bit and kind of validating that concern and ask, well, why do you think XYZ? And then kind of just reinforce that, okay, I may do this for her, but I do this for you. And again, that goes back to that unique quality of your child.
I want to bring you back to one thing that you said, and it's a great tip that I think we could share with parents out there in ways that they can go about it. You talked about validate their concern. Can you explain to the parents that are listening, what exactly does that mean?
Validating a concern your child has regarding favoritism or even anything else really is just letting your child know that you heard them, you understand where they're coming from, and why is it you feel that way? That it's okay to, it's okay to feel whatever it is, depending on the situation. It's okay to feel, I understand that you would feel this way, but how about we look at it this way? So it's really just acknowledging, you know, the concern and letting them know that you heard them.
Thank you for expanding on that, because I have found in most people, they feel that the response that they get as a child, was the child in the relationship, and what I mean when I say child, it could be any age. When a parent turns back to them and says, well, that's not true, you know, the effect is you've said something that has created a feeling in another person that when they bring it to you, validation, there's no validation. It's just I'm the parent, here it is. And so I see that sometimes this is where relationships between parents and children really start to separate, because it now becomes the child feels, I can't come and talk to you anymore because you don't hear and listen to what I'm saying. You don't care about me. You don't love me. You don't. So I want to really reinforce this validation and what exactly that means. You know, so say that you have a nickname for one child and you don't have one for me. You know, it's like you don't love me as much because you don't call me anything special. And so give me a way of, can you just say that I came to you with that? Now validate my feelings on it. I just want people to see an example of it.
Well, what I would do is, you know, I would just come up and say something very simple like, you know, I understand that you're feeling kind of left out because Susie has, you know, I call Susie Jelly Bean, and you don't feel I have a nickname for you. It's okay to feel that way, but what do I call you? And they may say, well, they, you know, a shortened version of their name. You know, instead of Jennifer, Nenifer. And I'm just putting that out there because that would be more of a nickname. You know, just really kind of, you know, taking that step back and acknowledging and validating their concern that, yes, you were heard. I understand you feel left out because your sister has a nickname and you don't? What can we do about that? What is it about, you know, what are some things that we do call you? And kind of bring it back to them, because 99% of the time there is a nickname, they just don't feel it because of some reason.
Great. That's a good one, and I want to do one more. The one that I often see happen is, you don't ever come to any of my events because they're not sports related. Now I'm going to be very specific with some of this, because you see it in relationships where fathers are very involved in their son's sporting events, but they don't go to their daughter's, dance recitals or something, because there's a conflict. Or it seems that a parent will take off of work to go to one child's event, but not the other's. And there's the feeling of less love there. How do you suggest to parents to share the understanding of the balancing act with their kids that is not in a way that is demeaning to the children, but in a way that still lifts them up, even though they may not be able to do everything the same?
Well, first of all, looking, you know, with the example you gave, you know, a sporting event versus a dance recital, maybe dad happens to be there or is an assistant coach and mom's the one that goes to all the dance recitals. One thing in kind of behind the scenes that the children don't see is, you know, parents' work schedule, you know, the ability to take time off of one, not the other, interests, things that are talked about between, you know, parents, things like that. Another thing is trying to get that common ground between father and daughter, mother, son. Mother might not, in your example, might just, although she loves her child very, very much, she just cannot watch a sporting event, say a soccer game. And so she has, you know, come up with a plan with her spouse to, you know, kind of balance that. So there's probably some, you know, could be some background things that the child doesn't see. When it comes to really, you know, mom not going to son's soccer game, dad not going to dance recital, trying to come up with different aspects that father-daughter do together, mother-son do together, that, you know, isn't being done with father, son, mother, daughter, and kind of approaching it from that aspect. You know, I understand you feel that I give your sister more attention than you because I go to her dance recitals but not your soccer games, but look at all the time that we spend together going to the video game store or, you know, whatever. You know, and kind of reinforcing the fact we spend time together in other ways. I want you to have this time with your dad. I want you to have this time with your mom, things like that, and kind of putting it back and spinning it back to the positive instead of focusing on the negative that your child came to you on, because, you know, we all know that energy attracts like energy, and if you put negative out, negative will happen. So if you can flip it to a positive side, positive things will happen. It's just a matter of time and, again, keeping that communication open with your children.
Thank you. I think that is so true, because, you know, sometimes you see in situations parents feel that they have to come to their own defense against their kids. You know, it's almost like when you have to answer the question, where is little Timmy come from? You know, you get all nervous and you don't know what to say. And, you know, the thing is you're right. It really is just about the communication, listening to what your kid has to say, and instead of just telling them they're wrong, acknowledging what it is that they're saying, making them feel that, you know, their thoughts and feelings matter. It's not about who's right or who's wrong, and that is the farthest thing from what it is. It's about that openness, being able to share that, being able to acknowledge it, being able to validate their feelings, and being able to grow from it. And I think that is the largest part that we can help benefit others is understanding is the growth aspect. And if you hear people that are talking about, it's too far gone right now. You know, it's my kids are too old. They don't even want to listen to this. If I started doing this with them, they would think something was wrong with me. So why should I bother? Answer that for me. If someone's to ask you, CJ, why should I bother now? It's too late. How do you respond to someone with that?
My first question to that parent would be, and I'm trying to find the right words here, is how can you not? How can you give up on your child? Because that's what it sounds like you're doing. And really kind of going from, there.
No, I'm not giving up on my child. I just know that, you know, our relationship is what it is, and there's no way I could change it at this point.
Well, what I would do at that point is challenge her. Why do you feel it's too far gone and there's nothing you can do now?
Well, because my kid's 16 years old, all he does is lock himself in his room. He just would rather play he plays his video game, does his homework, talks to his friends, and if I try to talk to him, he'll just put on his headphones or just give me the, And, you know, I've tried so many different times in so many different ways, and it's just not working. Nothing works. He's stuck in his ways.
What is it that makes you feel he's stuck in his ways?
Just by our conversations, you know. There's what else is there for me to say to him other than, you know, talk to me. I'm your mother. Don't you want to tell me what's going on in your life?
What exactly are you wanting out of your relationship with your son?
I want him to tell me what's going on in his life. I want to know how he likes his classes, who are the people he likes, who is he really hanging out with, because he never brings anybody home to hang out with.
What things are you doing now to get that information?
I try to talk to him as he's grabbing his lunch that I've made for him as he heads out the door. When he comes home, when I get home from work and I'm making dinner and he just comes down and grabs his plate and goes back to his room. You know, I try to, and all I get back from him is I don't have time to talk right now.
Well, if you don't mind, right now, I would like to kind of take my coach hat off a minute and offer a suggestion that has worked with several other clients of mine, and that is to come down to your son's level and ask him, instead of asking how his day was, what's going on, why don't you have friends come over, kind of come down and see what's going on in his head as to not necessarily why don't you want to talk to me, but kind of come down to his level a little bit and say, you know, I understand, you know, you're a 16-year-old boy, you have certain things, but I'm just really curious. Tell me one good thing that happened today and build on that. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time, but consistency and repetition is going to be key to making it happen. How does that sound for you?
So what you're saying is don't try to ask specific questions, just give him the opportunity to share what he wants to share with me?
Exactly. Exactly. When you try to talk at your child, you know, what do you want out of this? What is, you know, whatever the question is, you're going to get that pushback. But if you take a minute and step back and come down to their level and put it back on your child, you're going to get more information back because it's going to be their idea to bring it to you, and they will own it more.
I never thought of it that way. I think that's something that I can actually try to do.
Okay, great. And how can I know you tried this, you know, say tomorrow?
Well, first I'm going to have to really build up my own courage to do it, but I am definitely willing to do it, and maybe I'll just, you know, I'll send you an email of letting you know that I asked the question and let you know if it worked or not. But what if I do if it doesn't work?
Don't give up. Maybe, you know, take a look at, you know, be able to take a look at how you approached the question, what your feed, you know, what was the response from your son, and be able to take a step back and say, okay, instead of getting a from them, I got nothing. You know, the just absolutely, you know, nothing, you know, the word nothing. Okay, well, that's progress. You're going from to him saying nothing. So build on that and don't give up.
Yeah, I want to thank you for going through that little sample with me, because I think everything that we, as we've been talking about everything, really comes back to something that you just said as you were trying to coach me as if I was a parent having this issue. When you said, come down to their level, instead of trying to force what you think you have to do, just give them that opportunity to speak about whatever it is they want to. Maybe they don't care about the science class, but they care about the English book that they have to read or something like that. So by asking your kids what is it that they want to share with you and how they want to share it is something that is great. And there have been so many wonderful things that you have said today that I think is really great. You know, as we talk about just the title of Don't Talk at Them, Talk with Them, putting kind of the punishment that has happened back in the child, not in a way of blaming them for what they've done, but understanding what the cause and effects are and what have they learned from it, and build them back up and be proud, teach them to be proud of who they are and not just always focusing on what went wrong in there. You know, and it is important. Make sure that you understand your child enough to know what the crime is and how to, the punishment should fit. As well as then when you also said, is allow them to know who they are and what they want to do. Give them that chance to discover themselves. It's, again, so many wonderful things you said here. Be curious without being pushy as it goes to let them make the decision on what it is that they want to share, unless it's something, of course, that is bad news that you have found out. When a child comes to you with a concern or they're feeling left out or they're feeling down about themselves within it, acknowledge and validate that feeling. Do not tell them that they're wrong about the way they feel. Let them know that that is great. And lastly, allow yourself as your parent, as a parent, to let your child fall. These are some amazing things that you have said and shared with us today. And as crazy as this is, CJ, we are at the end of our hour already. Could you believe that?
Wow, that went by fast.
It sure does. Since we're at the end, what I want to do is I want to give you that opportunity to tell everybody some of your closing thoughts on our whole conversation we had today. And please share with our audience all the information about yourself, your Twitter account, your Facebook page, how they can get in touch with you, because if what you've said has resonated with anybody and they want that opportunity to shoot you an email to see more of what you might be able to do to help them as a coach or just in general have you speak to a group of parents, I want you to have that opportunity. So please, closing thoughts and how people can contact you.
Okay, first of all, you know, just to kind of sum up everything, really some key things to remember is, you know, communication is key. Be curious without being pushy. Ask simple questions to start. Be consistent with them, because eventually the repetition and consistency of asking those questions will eventually develop into not having to ask them anymore. Allow your child or children to develop who they are and what they want to do, and allow them to fall without telling them, you know, they're wrong or that will never happen. And allow them, put the ownership back on your child when it comes to, you know, not wanting to talk to you or any, you know, kind of bridging that gap a little bit, come down to their level. If a child takes ownership in their decision, the less likelihood of any repercussions, anything like that, will be less because they know that they made the decision based on the facts that they had, and you can develop into an extremely proud parent that you have raised a well-balanced child moving into this crazy world we call life. If any of this stuff has, you know, sunk in, resonated, want to learn more, my Facebook page is Future Potential Coaching. You can reach me via email at futurepotentialcoaching@gmail.com. And my Twitter handle is @futurepotential, which is with a number 1 instead of the letter L. Feel free to reach out to me in any way. I will be here to help you through, answer any questions, anything like that.
Great. Thank you so much, CJ, for being a part of the show today. I really think that what you had to say has made my fears of going into eventually becoming a parent much easier. Because, you know, it's true. These are things that a lot of people don't normally think about because we have to react so quickly to our children's behavior and have to react to society and all the pressure of everything that's going on around us that we never take the time to really to respond to the situation to improve it for going forward. So I'd like to thank everybody who listened to us today, and we hope you enjoyed the past hour. If you found it engaging, enlightening, and are now focused on a path to getting where you want to be with your relationship with your children. If you have any ideas or suggestions you'd like to share with Life Coach Radio Network, we are available on the World Wide Web at Life Coach Radio Networks, that's with an S at the end, .com. You can meet all of the hosts on our show there, and you can find out a little bit more about them. And something else I'd love to share with everybody, if you love listening to Life Coach Radio Network, starting next week, you could tune into Life Coach TV Network on YouTube. Some of your favorite radio hosts are now in video starting next week. You can find us by searching Life Coach TV Networks on YouTube. Myself, along with Russ Terry and Danielle Mercurio, are the executive producers and co-creators of it. So you'll be able to reach out to us if there's anything you'd like for us to put up there, something of interest. Or if you're a coach and are interested in joining our network, you can email us at lifecoachtvnetwork@gmail.com. Again, I'm Andrea Ruckelman, owner of New Perspectives Communication. You could follow me at howyousayit.com on – oops, that's not that true. You can follow me at howyousayit on Twitter, and you could find me at andrea@newperspectivescommunication.com. Again, if you want to follow Life Coach Radio Network, you can find us on Facebook. Our Twitter is Coach Host Radio. And my last thoughts and closing remarks to you is life is way too short and you only get one shot at it. Make sure you're enjoying all of it, all of your time, and your experience in it. So again, I'd like to thank CJ for being on with us today. And everyone, have a wonderful day, weekend, and until next time on September 26th. Have a good day.